Last time on Idle Fantasy. A gnome standing on a box.
If you step into my magical box, I will produce a likeness.
It's a magic photo.
Tell me, would you like me to inscribe it with a name?
We get to pick a name.
We get to pick a team name.
Are we going to go with the Wishlets?
Wishlets.
Or the Wishbones?
Wishbone boys.
Wishbone boys.
Okay, that's
time is up, gentlemen.
We're wishing that we bone boys.
Yeah. Boned by a wish to be boned. On our way to Bollocks Deep. Do you know it?
Oh, sirs, no, you won't be wanting to go to there. The wizard, he went mad years ago, sirs.
Fuck, of course he fucking is.
And as you push into the inn, it's a relatively busy night tonight, and you turn to see a very well-dressed gentleman wearing an enormous hat with a large feather, and he says, "My friend Milos Duranu, gentleman adventurer at your service, I hear you're going to Bollocks Deep too."
"Yes, we are."
"Friends, hear this, they think they can make it past the necromancer. Ha 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 ha. We call ourselves the Four Coins." And you hear from their table, and the table there's a...
"Because you're so fucking cheap."
"Ooh."
"Tell me, friend, what did you have in mind for a wager?"
"Whoever sorts the mystery of Bollocks Deep first, this fantastic musician right here shall write a song in praise."
"Avrana, sir."
"Avrana shall write a song, and the losers have to commission it." And I shake his hand.
He shakes his hand, and he says, "Ha ha! Adventure awaits! Champions to our horses!"
So I'm going to lob my jar of incredibly slippery stuff right in front of them.
"Lads, let's go nick their horses!
Cheese it!"
Do our own thing. It's the Idle Fantasy Podcast, episode 60.
Boom!
Yes, boys, feel that energy. We've got quite a strong energy in the room already, listeners, because three of us have popped our tops off because it's quite warm.
It's quite warm.
Yes, too hot. And most of us are quite hungover, or in Liam's case, drunk from a champagne breakfast, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a wild one. Hold on to your butts. We are joined, of course, by Zach Cole.
Hello, listeners.
Hey, man.
I'm here.
Hey. Yeah. We're looking good with our tops off.
We are looking pretty good.
This is a bold new direction for us.
And I feel it's definitely it's curved my hangover a little bit, I feel.
That's
which is
good.
Quite nice.
Or just being around flesh.
No, having others around my flesh.
Oh, okay. Having the Gorkas, speaking of Gorkas, Paddy Gorkas Jervas over here.
Yeah, that's right. I'm here. I'm raring to go.
Yeah, you're probably the most focused of all three of us, all four of us, I imagine.
For once, maybe. But no, I think that'll quickly be dispelled.
You just went to dinner last night. That was very civilised of you.
Yeah, I'm still. I've just had a long life. Just a little bit tired, but no, I'm actually not hungover for once.
Oh,
that makes me sound like more of a problematic person than maybe I was meant to. I'm okay today.
What is the fact that we usually record this on Saturdays?
Yeah,
that's the
excuse. Like, we're allowed to be hungover on a Saturday. That's fine.
What day is it today? It is. No, it's not.
It is.
Is it a Saturday?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
God, guys, come on.
You were doing so well, Pad.
I was doing so well. Yeah. I was like, guys, it's a Sunday. Never mind. I'm sorry.
Paddy's the company. When you said Gorkas, my brain is running about half speed. Like, got to bear that in mind. I was kind of going, that's not Paddy's middle name. And then for some reason, I was like, because his middle name's Patrick. And I was like, no.
Paddy
like,
Patrick.
Paddy Patrick Jervas.
Paddy Patrick Gorkas Jervas.
Yeah.
Well, Liam, fill us in. Fill in the gaps there for us. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Yeah. I'm
pissed.
Yeah, no, I'm all right.
No, don't you set that up on me.
Yeah, I've had a coffee as well, and I don't think you can be pissed if you've also had a coffee.
Yeah, that's the rule, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm about to test that by having a beer in a minute.
that's the rule with driving when drunk, isn't it?
They breathalyze you for your alcohol content, and they do a separate one for your caffeine content.
Yeah, they search the bottom of your car for Pret cups or whatever.
And then they go, how many of these
you had? You're like, well, you're well over the alcohol limit, but you're also well over the caffeine limit, so we've got to let you go.
At least you're really twitching.
Yeah.
Combination of really twitching and very slow reactions is tantamount to a car crash.
Yeah, absolutely. I've just had a vision of like Liam driving really slowly and then immediately spinning off the road.
Sudden caffeine jerk.
And of course, our illustrious DM, Laurie Havelock. Dice Chief.
It's me. The Dice Chief has both his nips out.
How are you feeling,
Laurie?
Trying
to get too hot, listeners. I'm feeling really good. I'm really not feeling that good. I'm feeling not very fresh.
You're feeling your chest right now.
Yeah, it's kind of a comforting maneuver for me.
Yeah, that's quite unsettling to know.
Well, it's going to happen all the way through this episode, guys. Yeah. So you better get ready for it. But no, we're recording this. I mean, as we seem to pick the warmest days of the year to record this bloody podcast.
Well, this is going to be coming up for our anniversary.
It is soon.
It's coming up towards our anniversary.
Oh, and we've got loads of stuff planned, he says, without much...
Are you going to get the three of us flowers?
Aw, yeah.
In the pouring rain.
In the pouring rain.
And maybe we should have a party.
Just the four of us.
A party. Yeah. We are already an adventuring party.
So we just have to let Paddy hang himself
like
for a second.
Come
there.
To a party, Liam. It's go to play a game well with that me, Liam.
We necessarily pick the hottest days of the year. I think we persevere through summer.
I think God hates us.
I think what happened was we developed hobbies before climate change really became an issue. And now we're fucked.
It is.
It's why Greta doesn't show up to any of our games.
Oh, searing insight from the political comedian there.
Wait, when people are listening to this podcast in a couple of years' time, they're going to be like, well, that dates it.
Floating on a barrel in the endless sea.
I am...
There's no way to get away from this reality.
I'm not proud of this, but who's Greta?
Greta Thunberg. Come on, mate, where you been?
With you.
Recording this forever.
In this heat. Wait, what's she doing? What's she saying?
She's an environmental activist who's a...
I know who she is, but I was like, she said something particularly...
Oh, she's just kind of led the
she's going to be queen of...
rebellion movement.
Queen of the endless sea.
What's it called? The like young
people... Extinction Rebellion.
What is it?
Extinction Rebellion.
Extinction Rebellion, yeah.
This is not... We are not plugging them, although they are.
No,
great.
I'm not plugging
she
them.
She predates Extinction Rebellion.
I'm on board with their obviously desire to make change, but when they pitch themselves up in the sad little park near Bethel Green Station... It's irritating.
Yeah, I quite like their boat. I enjoyed them having a boat. I did enjoy Helen Mirren getting a private jet in from New York, but that's another issue.
Yeah.
Wait, sorry, Helen Mirren got a private jet?
No, she got a normal jet,
Emma
actually.
Thompson.
Yes, the other one. The other established actress, British actress. Who lives
There's
in
only two in Hollywood because they won't let other women in. But
well, Olivia Colman now. Well, guys, we're getting woefully off topic.
Let's talk about elves.
Yeah,
let's
bloody
talk
elves.
About
well,
elves.
I mean, a weird
fact, segue. I mean, is there climate change in Veld? Is that what?
Wow,
is that
no.
The next 10 arms? Just the
slow decay of a planet.
You know, when Vandra summoned all those meteors, it just really cooked up the atmosphere a bit, and it's
I bet it did.
All goes a bit Princess bad. Mononoke. And
we're gonna the Great Seal Clubbing is gonna rear its ugly head once more. You know, it's all going to tie
let's
up.
Let's get down there.
Irontown. Well, look, let's get right back into it, boys. We'll kick right on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's set the scene. What are you doing now?
You wrote this song.
It's a balmy summer's night in the northern Veld wilds. The sky, the colour of a deep blue bruise, is streaked with light wisps of cloud, illuminated in themselves by the three moons, which stand nearly next to each other as the summer solstice approaches. There's the bright mother in the middle, her pink, pockmarked surface clearly visible as it looms large, her two smaller sisters almost aligned either side of her, chastened by their siblings' radiance. Their light picks out the edges of the long, whispering grasses that line the road heading north, a road that is beginning to swing up into the foothills of the Black Mountain. With the thunder of 20 hooves, I think approximately, the three of you, Teddy, Glitch and Vatik, crest one of the wild's rolling low hills and come to a crossroads of the old trade road that spans the Isle of Holster's Belly from Broth and the Isle of Isen in the east through to Sudtown in the west. And ahead of you, the squat stone buildings of Bollocks Deep. But there are no lights, no people outside, no signs of life in the small mountain town that you can see from up here. There's an eerie silence blanketing everything. Standing in silhouette against the three moons, there's the town's lone tower, standing unsteadily in the night. What do you want to do?
Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, should we just phone it in? Should we just turn around and go home?
job's done. Let the horses take care of it. Why not?
When Laurie said 20 hooves there, I was like, we don't have 10 horses. And then it took that is my current state of being. So I was like,
well,
wow.
You stole the four other boys and girls' horses, and you brought old Rickety Bob, or whatever they were called.
Yeah, we didn't want them to have any motor transport, did we?
It was very good.
It was a very good plan.
So what do we do with the horses now?
Eat them.
Just run them off. Kill all of them.
Instantly. Well...
Well, we should tie them up outside. We might have to make them an escape at some point. Leave them there, bag of oats, you know, trough of water, whatever you do with horses.
I'm just going to say that one of the reagents for my sticky potion is horse.
Just horse?
Yeah.
Oh, like melted horse, like glue.
Yeah. Oh, of course, yeah.
Well, yeah, if you want to take a short rest.
My glue is
of horse,
of course.
All right, give me a check to boil some horse bones.
I'm legitimately going to do this. Yeah, I will boil.
Well, hang on, so you've got a real bat there. You've got to slay a horse before
the
we go any
one,
further.
Though. Yeah, I don't think it's going to put up much of a fight.
That's a good reason to kill a horse.
That's not why you should kill something, Liam. Just because it won't fight back is not a good enough reason.
You've changed your tune.
No,
you wanted to rob and murder everything last time.
I do, no. I do want to. It's just, I mean, in the realms of the game, you said that as if that was something to live by.
What? Plus, aren't we in a rush? Maybe we shouldn't stop to boil a horse. Like, I think we've set a wager, run into the distance with a bunch of horses. We can't immediately be like, and now to brew our glue.
Okay. I'll hold back.
Is there like?
But I kind of eye up one of the horses, and I'm like, one hoof wrong, mate. Yeah, Fuck your glue.
You're getting that glue.
Miss a horse.
Well, you're kind of like I say, you're coming down this road. It's passing between two valleys. Like I say, you're in the foothills of two valleys. It's in a valley as you approach the foothills of the Black Mountains behind. And there are a kind of big set of stone gates in between these two walls of the valley. There's a little guardhouse there, but the gates seem unmanned. And that silence still stays in, and there's no, like I say, no torches, no lights on.
Oh, let's just go in.
I think I'm a little bit scared of the dark, so can I do some kind of perception check to make
sure
there's nothing?
Necromancer wizard?
Can't you also see in the dark?
Yeah, but I think I'm still scared of it.
What do you want to do? You should see what you see.
I think I'm uneasy. I think going through a valley towards a dark mountain with an eerie town, I think I'd
be quite scared. But it's not dark for you. And we literally first met you living under... Like a crypt, carrying bodies around.
But I've got the mind of a priest, haven't I? The mind of a cleric.
He's still never seen the dark. Like, he still shouldn't be scared of it.
I'm just uneasy, is all I'm saying. So can I have a little look? Like, you know, if there's a guard tower that seems unmanned, we're in a valley, we can have
take a
look.
Take a deeks.
Sweet. That is a 12 plus 0. 12.
Okay. You can see from here. Have you gone through the gates, or are you kind of...
No, this is like, you know, you're starting to listen out for owls and birds and things that might rustle in the bushes and stuff.
You can hear, like I said, this light breeze that you heard earlier on the grasses. You can hear that kind of slightly blowing through towns. You can hear the rush of water further away. It's definitely distant, but it's a very consistent, heavy flow of water. Babbling underneath.
I was trying to do a sound effect for that, like you did for the wind. I realized I had no idea what that would sound like.
Like that.
Very consistent slurp and pop.
Yeah, there's a big slurp dragon.
Yeah.
And
sound the water for me.
Captain Foley over there.
Captain Foley. And other than that, you can see just ahead of you, it's like a very small town. You're just kind of peering through the gates. A small town square surrounding what looks like a fountain, several buildings. And then a winding road a little bit further away leading up to the tower ahead of you. But it's all kind of just picked out in moonlight. There's not a lot to see from here.
Lovely old job.
With the 14, I think you probably get a little shiver down your spine. A little prickle.
That's
okay.
Interesting to know, because you got a 12, so...
Oh, yeah. So you didn't
ignore it. No prickles for you.
Two more and you may have got my naughty prickles, but alas.
Okay, so...
Well, boys, I don't know how far ahead we are, but I guess we should probably have a little look around and see if anyone's at home.
Aye. Good call. And maybe find somewhere to put up for the night. I don't fancy camping out if we can avoid it.
I don't know. I think they're going to be hot on our tail. We might have to just work the fuck out right now and know what's going on and then take it from there.
But, like, do reps or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Do some crunches.
All the push-ups we can so that we look beefy by the time they arrive.
That trick where you just do a couple of sit-ups so you've got nice, firm stomach.
I guess we should look for signs of life, right? We should, I mean...
Yeah. Or death.
Or death.
Wait, actually, you know what I've got?
What?
I've got detect magic.
Oh boy.
Ooh. Now detect magic will pick out magic-y things. I mean, I know. I'm not trying to spell-splain you.
Yeah, I was going to say, dude, that's like...
You said it hot on the heels of, like,
give
any
me
signs of life.
Some sort of respect.
I'm just saying, it won't pick out, like, life.
No, it wouldn't, but we'd know if there was a particular, like, magic source we could kind of, like, head towards. Mm. Might be useful.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay, yeah. What's the range on it? It's, like, 60 feet.
I think it's about... You know, a good 500, 600 feet.
Do you?
I've thought about it, and
probably. I'm just spitballing. Yeah. Probably a mile.
Yeah, I'm that powerful.
Okay, well, it is 30 feet, says the player's handbook.
Great. I'll wait until we're nearer some stuff.
Let's go into the town square.
Yeah,
I'll have a look in the fountain, see if the water's like really old and manky, or whether it looks like something has recently changed here.
Sure. You head up to the fountain, and that's actually a very good place to start. You can see here, the first thing you notice is that everything is overgrown. There are trees and flower beds that are completely overreaching what looked like quite neat plots where they once were. There are vines that kind of twist through into windows, a couple of broken windows, decaying paintwork, that kind of thing. It doesn't look like it's completely abandoned, but there's definitely a bit of a lack of care here recently. Mm. And as you head down to the fountain, you see you can see the layout of the town a bit better. But the fountain, to start with, you can see it's an enormous warrior figure with a massive axe fighting off some kind of lizardy creature is depicted. And there is the fountain itself is empty, but you can see the kind of scum mark of where water might have been and left to fester a little bit.
Anyone recognize this guy or that thing? Pointing at the little lizard dudo.
Oh, it's a big lizard dudo.
Oh, okay.
Anyone's welcome to give
me a... do a little history check if you want. Yeah. In fact, and this is going to be the first roll with my new...
Oh, yeah. We popped
These
up on social media, but...
Social media.
You got some fancy dice.
I did. This is our first sort of fan-related gift thing, I guess. I mean, I knew the person beforehand. It wasn't just random. But,
yeah, but it would be you who got the first fan gift.
Yep. Yes, it would. Sultry tones. I got a personalised Ted Wood Windsor dice box.
Really sweet.
Yeah, it's really sweet. We've got this picture of it on Instagram. Idol Fantasy Pod. Just, nice. You know, cheeky little follow.
Check it out.
It comes with all of its like, own little dice compartments and a bit to roll it. But I'm not going to do that because we're going for audio quality and I'm going to use the padded dice box.
Here we go.
The wooden one.
Zach's first nat one from this set of dice.
The first one's the best.
Here we go.
Is it really? Or is it this is the best? Is a kind of...
That's a 19
straight out
there.
Yeah. So
thank you to the fan who gave Zach a set of weighted dice.
Yeah. It's
yes. What was I doing again?
History
check. Okay.
History,
yeah.
Which is plus intellect.
Ooh, ain't got
you
any
may
yet.
Even be proficient.
I am not. I'm proficient in religion.
Aha.
Yes. And I have zero intelligence. So 19.
So it's 19.
Yeah.
Luckily, that's grand.
literally, and I'm a vegetable. So,
and I think this is probably something that's...
No, I used to be a vegetable. I used to be minus one, and now I've got zero.
Oh, sweet.
After leveling up, I've gone to like not even average.
What I like to think is happening here is this is someone who would definitely be familiar to Draka.
Mm. Okay.
And probably while you're recording this, the other two notice there's like a little plaque at the bottom of this statue of this fountain that explains this all. But you know, this is a legendary orcish warrior and full blown orc as well.
Yeah, okay.
And you know, a species kind of distrusted, not too many actually in the Streal Islands.
Ooh.
But this one is called Belok, as in B'LOK.
Belok.
Like I said, depicted with this enormous battle axe, and they have a blindfold across their eyes while they are fighting what you know from the legend to be a basilisk. In fact, a horde of basilisks that once plagued this town.
Is that an basilisk? Why has he got an eye? A basilisk, the thing that like, if you look at them, you can turn to stone or something.
Stone. Yeah, maybe it's not a statue. It? Maybe it's fucking him.
Ooh, that's quite cool. Well, no.
And then why would the basilisk be stoked? Maybe another one was watching.
Yeah.
He was like, "Hey, buddy,
that's okay." Oh, sorry.
I'd be like, that would be the most useless eye patch ever, as well. If he was like, he had the blindfold
covered
on,
his eyes,
and he's still stoned.
Yeah.
And you know, this is a legend familiar with your tribe, and one that's very, you know, is handed down. The orc that gave their life to protect, you know, a normal town here. When they
okay,
not.
So did he died here then? Is that the...
Yeah, they died here, gave their life protecting this burgeoning town, whatever it was called back then, you know, centuries ago. And you also know, I mean, as you've already surmised, heavily rumoured to be their body inside. But
I in mean, the mountain?
No, in the statue.
Oh, in the statue.
Ooh. Heavily rumoured. But well, how much? You're looking at it now, it's huge. It's
how much time have we got?
I like to think that what happened is he got turned to stone, and then distastefully the rest of the town was like, we could turn it into a feature, make a little stone battle next to it.
Yeah. Put a little fountain around him. Yeah. Like, you know, tell everyone it's just a really good work of art.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe if there are basilisks around, maybe it's not a big stone mountain. Maybe it's a hill filled with basilisks.
Mm.
And maybe it's not a mine. Maybe it used to be, you know, a paddock.
I think to be safe, we should blind one another.
A paddock?
You can give me a nature check if you want to know about basilisks and not speculate.
I'd like to know about basilisks, if that's okay.
That's fine. I mean, you've got most of it.
I'm a nature... Oh, shit, I nearly rolled Zach's dice.
Oh, I've got plus one nature. Can I do it? I haven't done a roll.
Yeah, right. Sure. I mean, I got plus four, but you haven't done a roll, so yeah.
Okay, well, that's a nine.
That's a nine?
Yep. Kind of wish you'd done the roll, though.
You can... No, that's fine. You can whisper in my ear and I'll do it as well.
I don't know what that thing is.
Well, as already surmised, you know that the gaze of a basilisk can petrify whoever they're looking at. You know they have quite a poisonous bite. You also know they live underground, and lots of stories from all over the place of dwarves digging too deep and finding a nest of basilisks.
God, those dwarves, man. They're always digging too deep. Every single fantasy.
Oh,
they're always going too deep.
Get
a job.
Get a job, guys. Mm. It isn't
all their jobs are digging. Digging. Right?
Or tinkering.
Well, that's more gnomey, isn't it?
Yeah, it's more gnomey. Yeah.
Right, apart from the Marvel dwarf, though, isn't it? He was very tinkery.
Yeah, that's true.
But then he was Peter Dinklage.
Fucking massive as well, wasn't he?
Dinkles the Tinkles.
Yeah. The Tinkles.
Yeah, he was a celeb. He was a celestial dwarf, wasn't he? For some reason,
but he was actually quite big.
Yeah, very big.
Yeah. Oh, Marvel, where'd you get off?
Getting it wrong. He's not even digging, and he's big. So the two things you had to get right.
Elsewhere in the town. So, while you're standing around this statue, you can see the rest of the town pretty easily. There is this water fountain. There is what looks like it's probably a blacksmith's workshop with kind of one side missing out and some forge equipment. There is a very large building that has two quite large pipes leading out of it. And as you follow them down, you see they go over a cliff and towards where that sound of running water is coming from. A couple of houses, one medium, one larger, one almost completely destroyed. The walls kind of completely crumbled in on themselves. What looks to be a stable house, just like quite a basic, you know, lean-to with paddocks in, and over what looks to be this valley that the pipes lead into, there you can see the trail up to the tower as well.
I think we should probably... Are we going to hit the tower?
I want to have a look around.
Let's hitch up the horses and have a look.
Yeah, put the horses in the...
I'd quite like to check out the tower, but then if I do that, I'll obviously come back, but you guys can check out...
All right, you have a look at the tower.
If there's any stuff we around... Got...
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I want to check out that forge.
Or the blacksmith's
thing.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
I want to look at the houses.
Okay. All right. Well, let's say you go into the stable house, and it's, like I say, it's a pretty... There's nothing to be seen here. No grizzly remains or anything.
Cool.
And you find a little spot for the horses. There's even some, not very fresh, but some hay around, and you've got your oats still.
Lovely.
So tie them up.
Have we still got that, like the crap sheep?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, what are you doing with Daisy?
Good That's point. Dinner later, right?
That's, yeah, I mean, I thought that was the original plan, but like, I guess just, you know.
She's our walking larder.
Yeah. And then hat as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, woodly hat. Let's go use Zach first. You're heading over to the tower.
Yeah, this is just to have a little look around and see what we're dealing with.
Know what we're up against as
Yeah,
well,
not like I'm not going to go barreling into anything.
No, we don't. Well, in fact, you can't, because you've kind of followed to the edge of town, is a strong word, but you followed to that bit of town, and you can see now properly the back of this enormous building, the more industrial looking building next to the blacksmith's, and you see these pipes leading down. You follow them down and you see them go under what is a very fast moving river very far below you. You kind of look over this cliff. You know, a bit like Gerudo Valley in the Zelda.
Yeah, yeah,
talk about that kind of dimensions. This river's very, very far low down. Below you.
Yeah.
You follow the pipes up the other side and you see this suddenly, it's very hard to see kind of in the gloom, but a very complicated looking mechanism with two mighty winches and lots of kind of cabling and stuff two massive bridge posts and a bridge between them that is completely drawn up like a kind of portcullis.
Oh, okay, oh, cool. Okay. I think there's going to be some sort of puzzle.
Bridge puzzle?
Mm. Bridge puzzle.
There's a chicken, a wolf, and a dog.
And a boat?
Yeah. And a boat.
Yeah, all right, cool. So what can I tell about these mechanisms then? Is there like a lever? Is there something to kind of like just... Yeah. I mean, like a nice easy access button that just says press here for bridge to descend and then... Cross
and a note that says, remember you've to open bridge.
You've solved my bridge puzzle. There's a button.
There's a button.
Solve that bridge puzzle.
Thinking if we solve that, we just walk across the bridge and then like very easily, without any sort of kind of resistance, get all we need from the tower.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I was just thinking to myself, I was like, just use your hook shot. And then I remembered, it's not Teddy's hook.
Not only is it not Teddy's, but didn't it also go over the edge of the cliff anyway?
No, it was instant. It was the first thing that happened.
The first thing you ever loved.
I just gave it to Paddy, and Paddy immediately threw it off the... Also, didn't you follow, what I think I remember rightly, you think you followed up your like natural 20 like sleight of hand check to catch the rope with a like one.
to yank it down
and then just chuck it down the chasm.
So long ago.
Yep.
Give me just investigation check. That's the best I could do. There's no like a mechanics check.
Bah. That's a, what is that, 11 plus?
Investigation is intellect as well.
Yeah, no, 11.
11, no, 11, I wasn't, oh no.
Why, mate?
Oh. You can tell that this mechanism is, this is pretty newfangled technology. Mm-hmm. I mean, particularly for Shraka, not being a technologically proficient guy, but you understand that there are a lot of mining operations do use steam power and a very crude form of, you know, electrical current generation. And you can you probably put two and two together and think these pipes are probably something to do with powering this bridge.
Okay.
All right. But there are no controls on this side. You can see there are kind of a couple of marks where you think the bridge would slot in once it falls down. And between these two posts, there's a very thin kind of line of wire from one side to the other. But even with an 11, you can probably, it's probably not going to take you monkeying across it. They don't look that sturdy. But yeah, and you can see that these pipes is follow that, under the river and then back over to the...
Can I tell if that wire is the kind of like the suspension? Like, is that what's keeping the mechanism, like the bridge currently up? Is it that wire between the two sides of the bridge?
Oh, doesn't seem to be. No, this is not structurally relevant.
Oh, okay, cool. I was going to try and shoot it. all right, cool. Well, that seems... I mean, that's about as much as I can get out of that. So I reckon I might go back and get the guys, see what they've found out.
You've been scouting.
Then we can come back and tackle this puzzle together.
Okay. Didn't you always love it in like RPGs? Or like, not even just RPGs, but like Resident Evil and stuff like that, when there'd be a code to a door, and there was always a note that was like, "Dear Tom, I can't believe they changed the passwords again."
Yeah.
To my birthday, nonetheless, you know, and then you have to find like calendar on the wall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Say, you know, I love that card Sherry got me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't remember the post-it that I left you in your locker, number 9.
I wonder, did she throw it away into the incinerator yet?
Yeah.
A scorcher. Welcome to the Middle Plane or the Idle Fantasy Podcast. My name is Laurie Havelock. I am your dungeon master for this evening. Please keep your hands and wings inside the moving pod vehicle at all times. So, you know, we did record this on the one of the hottest days of the year, but I am recording this bit on actually the hottest day of the year. Hellmouth has opened. Everyone is wilting. It is too much. Welcome to episode 16. We hope you've enjoyed it so far. It's going to be a little bit of a shorter episode this week. Apologies for that. But it was a bit of a quirk of the way we recorded it. We ended up doing something at the end of this, which took a bit longer than we thought. And also, all of the other idle fantasists are actually off on their travels at the moment. Paddy's about to pack up and go to Edinburgh. Liam's working very hard and he's helping renovate a house. And Zach is around. He's just been on holiday. And I'm off on holiday as well as of tomorrow. So we've had to be a bit creative with our episodes, but hopefully you'll still get as much from them as per usual. And if only add to the suspense of our boys' trip to Bullock's Deep.
What is there to update you about? Well, of course, you can still find all of our stuff on idlefantasy.com. You can see our archive episodes, see our character sheets, which, just remember, do need updating. Or you can find us on Twitter at idlefantasypod to hear all the latest news and gossip, or idlefantasypod on Instagram to see pictures of our butts. That is it, just wall-to-wall butt pics. If you have any messages for us, you can always email us on idlefantasypodcast@gmail.com. Also something to mention, in this episode, I think actually there aren't any mentioned for until next episode, but I asked you wonderful people on Twitter to help me out with some NPC names, because I mean, given the heat, it's no surprise really, but I am terrible at coming up with a long list of names. I have a kind of backup list and I end up not using half of them. And you were all very helpful in giving me some names. So I'm going to just name check a few of you. Apologies if I leave anyone out. A massive thank you to Ethan Lawrence, Donatron on Twitter, Robert West, Pavan, Daniel Benleal, Mitch, Aiden Thorne, McCrory Neal. And I think that's all of you. Thank you so much for your names. Do keep them coming next time I ask for them, because there will inevitably be another time when I have an enormous brain fart and can't come up with anything. Something else to update you about is it's been mentioned a couple of times. I like to keep quiet about it. I am a journalist for a living. I do write articles. I usually write stuff completely unrelated to D&D. I usually write about business stories. But a few days ago, I wrote an article for a newspaper, the I newspaper, the big red letter I, I'm sure you're familiar with it, about Dungeons and Dragons and how particularly I'd kind of arrived into the hobby. And I'm not trying to plug this necessarily, you know, I'm not going to earn any money from you guys reading it, but I thought it might make a nice companion piece if you are interested. So if you go onto the inews.co.uk website and search for Dungeons and Dragons, funnily enough, guys, it's one of the few articles written about Dungeons and Dragons, so you'll be able to find it pretty easily. The headline is Dungeons and Dragons, How the Nerdy Past Hit Mainstream with Celebs and Strange Things. And it's been written by me. In there, I think Pads and I have mentioned previously this wonderful experience we had with a friend of ours, Dad, Tony, who kind of got us involved in the game. Makes it sound like we were kids. We were in our 20s, firmly. And we went over to his beautiful house for a couple of games. Anyway, and it's a couple of stories from how I got into the game. It's a chat to Xander over at the London D&D Meetup, which is one of the groups I first started playing the game with. And it's just, you know, I thought you guys might be interested in reading a little bit more. If not, don't worry. Self-plug is over. No more promotion going on here. We hope you're keeping very cool in the heat if you're in the UK. I think it's pretty hot everywhere, but in the UK, it's supposedly the hottest day ever. We will be back with the next episode. That's going to be episode 17, or the third episode of this arc in Bollocks Deep. That'll be with you on Friday. That's Fantasy Freaky Friday, the 9th of August. So look in your podcatchers there. Just before I go, I've got a tiny joke for you. Please do not judge it by the weather that is. Oh my God, I'm just melting into liquid. All right, here we go. Ahem. How many clerics does it take to fix a broken light bulb? It's only one, isn't it? Just gotta cast cure light wounds. Light wounds. Hey, hello? Hey, is this, hey, all right, we'll see you next time, August the 9th. Until then, may your saving throws be true and your movement unencumbered by heavy equipment. That doesn't really work, does it? Goodbye!
And Pads, where are you heading? Sorry.
I went to go and check out the houses. I kind of wanted to look at everything. I think I'm quite intrigued to find out what happened in the town before tackling the big scary tower.
I think I've completely forgotten my character's name. Vartik. I think he's just kind of got like, kind of like, oh, Forge, I like a bit of a...
okay.
I think I've just done a complete beeline rather than kind of just like ambling.
Get me professions up, leveled up.
Yeah.
And we'll go to you, Pads, first, actually.
Okay.
We're going to just have a kind of general look around. Give me a probably a general investigation check.
Yeah, I'm like trying doors and
is there anything in particular you're trying to find? Or
well, I just think if there's these houses, that will be evidence of, like, you know, when like you look in a house that's abandoned, you could see whether, like, the breakfast table was laid or whether it looks like it's been ransacked.
Right.
Or whether, you know, stuff like that. And you said one had, like, all the walls, like, falling down, so I could probably get into that room. But, like, trying the doors on the other two and just, like, having a butchers around the houses.
Okay.
I like that you said that conversation.
Nat 20.
Oh, Nat 20.
Nice work.
Okay. I think you've picked already, but pick the small, the destroyed, or the bigger house. For the one you're going to hone in on here.
I think I'll probably go to the big one first.
All right. You go to the bigger house. It's a two-story. Very well appointed. You head in through, you know, it's quite a well, sturdily constructed door. You head in with that... And you see here, this is particularly somewhere where these beautiful vines that were going up the side of the house have kind of completely turned in and grown
cool.
Inside the windows here. And you see, it's certainly deserted. You probably, with a 20, you're gonna be able to piece this together. Seems to have been lived in fairly recently.
Mm-hmm.
But you see more of these wires that Teddy would have seen. Kind of running around the inside of the house,
right?
And you see on one wall what looks to be—you can only imagine—is an artificial lantern. It seems to be a lantern awaiting with no gas intake or anything.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Hanging over a kitchen table, which is a little bit cluttered, but not dusty, not kind of, you know, lost to the ages.
With a 20, I'd just be like so up for searching this place. I'm like thoroughly checking.
Oh,
mate. Having a real.
All right, you're having a real route. Well, like I said, this is the main room, the dining room, the kind of, you see a little
sure.
kitchen range as well at the back. All very undisturbed and you know, like I said, it's not like the apocalypse happened. There, it's kind of looks like it's been lived in, but not recently. There are a set of stairs going up. There are two rooms downstairs with doors, you know, closed at the moment. So you'd like to look at those?
Well, yeah,
you,
I opened same... both of them at once.
Woof, woof.
Yeah, mage hand one whilst opening the other.
One's the Kazi. Very lovely. Looks like they've got working plumbing here. Very
okay.
excitingly. And in the other room, it's a very dark, curtains drawn bedroom.
Oh, okay.
And you creep into the bedroom and it's deathly silent. And no sound of breathing, no sound of anything. And yet, unmistakably, in the bed ahead of you, there are two figures. In bed.
Ooh. Oh shit. Okay, I freeze. I can see in the dark, can't I? So
yeah.
They're, okay.
I can see in the dark, even though I'm afraid of it.
They look not quite tall enough to be human or elf, probably dwarven.
Maybe gnome-ish?
They're both shit. Kind of facing away from you.
Gnome-y?
Halflingy? Dwarven-y.
Dwarf. Well, actually, you know what? Like, I didn't say I was like stealthily looking around the house, so the fact they haven't woken up yet, I'm gonna creep over and have a look at them. I know that sounds weird, but like,
I mean, they're definitely dead, aren't they?
Well, yeah. In which case, I'm fine, right?
Yeah.
That's a very weird way of looking at it.
That is an odd way of looking at it.
If I went into a room and I saw two people in the bed, my instinct wouldn't be like, "Oh, I'm fine. They're dead."
Now, but in like a dead town, you would be. I'd be more unsettled by people that were alive just living in the dead town than people that had died in the dead town.
Oh man, I think I'd curiosity would mean I'd try and get a closer look to it, because I think I'd think they're dead.
Mm.
Are you going to get a stick to prod them?
No, not yet.
Glitch is all
also,
over
this is very much your area.
Well.
Very much my area.
You head over Glitch, and I don't think you need to roll to determine this is all in that beautiful 20 you rolled. You head over, and there's no movement in these two figures. There's no breathing, you know, rolling of breathing or anything, or you know, shuffling in the night. And as you creep over to draw back the blanket covering the two of them.
Oh, Christ. This is scary.
You put it back and you see a dwarven man and a dwarven woman. Unmistakably there. Like I say, not breathing. And the woman is closest to you and you kind of, in your mortician's way, feel for a pulse. There's none there. You feel her skin and it's cold and clammy, but it's not decaying in any way. It's just a little bit greasy and...
So like she's sort of in suspended animation as opposed to...
A little bit.
She's embalmed, is that real?
And you... I think... Very good question. You can... This feels like bodies you've had preserved for... Exactly.
Embalmed. Oh, wow, okay.
In some ways it feels like there's a similar smell in the air and you...
Like formaldehyde.
Smell the stuff on your fingers, yeah. Weird. Magical hide.
You say just the woman or the man as
you,
well?
Well, this is the woman's closest to you, and as you reach over to move the man, you put your hand on his shoulder and he rolls towards you slightly. And what you thought was the same, a kind of fairly unblemished face, as he rolls over you see that half of his... Not half of his head, but on the far side of his head, there is an enormous wound. Again, not festering, not bleeding, scabbed over. Sorry, it's getting quite gross.
Nice, but it's cool.
And that's it.
But and he rolls. He rolled over.
Yeah, just as you kind of as you were moving as people around the bed. Yeah, the two of them.
Yeah,
the
not
bed.
Of his own volition.
I mean, who knows?
Okay,
but after all that disturbance and probably after you shitting yourself mildly, they are unmoving.
Okay. Right. Is there anything on the bedside table? Like anything? I'm not saying like a suicide note or something, but like I don't know if there was like,
suicide note.
Yeah. Here's what happens in the plot. Yeah, but like I don't know, like any evidence of embalming or poison or like
no,
a weapon nearby? Or
no,
like...
nothing like that. You can, you know, your normal personal accoutrement. There's, you know, you see a very small, intricate, what could be a watch, a little pendant on a golden chain by the bed. You see another heliograph, this one far kind of shoddier and more faded than yours, but appears to depict these two, this couple on the side.
Are they bottomless, like, as well?
Yeah, of course, yeah, as cool. is the fashion.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
And...
what's his dick like?
Magnificent. If Vatic was here, he'd feel very inferior.
Don't touch yourself like that, Laurie, Jesus.
Don't tell them I'm doing it.
You're the one who made it weird, Zach.
But it seems to be like personal effects, not like...
Yeah, anime. The only thing that stands out to you is there is a small, what looks like a mountain flower, you know, a very small, delicate, beautiful flower, held in a little glass vase, but it looks pristine and in like it was picked yesterday.
Do I know what kind of flower it is? I'll pick it up.
Do you know what flower it is? No. Nature check. For that,
it's all a bit Beauty and the Beast, isn't it? But with dead dwarves, yeah. You know.
Ted as old as dwarves.
What's that?
Four.
It's a four, but my nature is a four, so an eight.
An eight. It's
you
called
got a nature of four.
Yeah, it's one of the, it's my intellect bonus.
Oh, cool. I need to hit more stuff, man. I got a plus four for my strength. I'm just not using it for stuff.
Yeah, hit more bridges.
Trying to investigate bridges, and just like, oh yeah, you see a bridge.
You work stuff out by the bridge. It's a it's a pretty mountain flower called the Black Mountain Iris. Very popular in this area.
Okay.
Usually grows in winter. And it's as mentioned.
Is it winter?
No.
It is okay.
Approaching midsummer.
Is this town? I'm talking to the other boys rather than Laurie. I thought I should explain that because it sounds like I've cut Laurie off and just cut him out of the conversation. But is this like a suspended town?
I think so.
Suspended in time kind of thing.
I think there's more to this town than meets the eye, Zachary.
Maybe I should have spoken to Laurie.
History of what?
I think you should slide into your own DMs, detect magic. That's what you need to do.
I'm the only one that can do that.
Really? I can't. I can do arcana checks and stuff, but remember I can't physically detect magic.
Remember, that's what it came down to. Like, when I was selecting my spells, I was selecting, like,
utility.
All the useful things,
yeah.
Like healing and detect magic and silence and all that kind of shit, because Paddy was, like, jumping and...
Yeah.
And, like,
exploding shit.
Old frickin' box boy.
Yeah, cool. And you're just making things slip around and get sticky. Yeah. All right. I mean, I could go. I mean, I will be coming back your way. I was always going to be coming back to where you guys are anyway, so I can come and have a
check.
Yeah.
Why don't we? Is there anything else you
want to
find out immediately?
I'd probably want to look upstairs, but I'd want to do it with the others, so
okay.
I come back to the front of the door to tell them what I've seen.
Okay.
You head back out the front door, and as you leave, you just hear upstairs.
Oh fuck, I do.
Liam.
I'm actually not cool with this now. This is now about scary.
I love this. This is fucking great. It's got me on fucking tenterhooks. So.
And then zombie dogs.
I don't like being on tenterhooks.
Smash through the
windows. Horrible.
You've got a bit of Pringle in your hair.
Have I?
Oh, yeah. That way to destroy the tension. Oh, sorry. Mate. Jesus.
I'm also saving it for later.
I know, yeah, that is true. It looks pretty cool as well.
Liam, you head over to this workshop.
Okay.
And yes, appears to be a blacksmith. But actually, as you look around, there's no kind of there's no proper. This is. We're just watching Paddy and Zach comb each other for Kringle crumbs like two like two monkeys. It was absolutely lovely.
While topless as well.
Yeah.
Let me comb you. Chase me.
Phoebe the Pringle.
Like I say, resembled a blacksmith, but there's none of the usual stations you'd recognise in a blacksmith's, right? Okay. There's no like forge particularly, and actually what this looks to be like is a stonecutter's workshop, because you can see a couple of huge slabs of stone, some very rough, you know, hardy tools.
Yep.
And yeah, you're kind of in the doorway where all this kit is laid out, and the you know, the building kind of disappears into darkness further ahead of you. Actually, no, it doesn't.
Oh, not for me. No,
of course not. So you can see, yeah, there's various kind of bits and pieces in here. Do you want me to? Is there anything you're looking for? Or do you want me just to tell you what's on the menu?
I'm kind of. I think I'm curious specifically to know what tools are here. Like, I think I want to work out exactly what was being made.
Okay.
Oh, that's clever. I wouldn't have thought to do that.
Maybe I think just investigation then for that.
Investigation?
Yeah.
All right, that's 13.
13.
That's remarkably low for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I've not been... the last couple of episodes, I've been doing some stinkers. I must have used up all my good luck in the first, like, five or six episodes. Yeah. When I was like, 20, 20, 20. Yeah.
Is that app, does it have a paid-for subscription? Do you reckon it starts you with higher rolls? Yeah,
there's a paywall depending on how well you roll.
Uh-oh, it looks like you've been rolling pretty poorly recently.
Why not add some roll credit?
Yeah. all right, so you can see, like I say, they're mostly these huge slabs of stone, some of them kind of half-hewn. And a quick look at those, and a quick look at these.
They found us, boys. The operation's over.
Yeah. We're rumbled.
Dandelion, 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 getaway music.
Sorry, that's definitely.
It's very loud, isn't it?
That's a loud one.
Yeah, it's a loud one. What do you reckon has happened?
It might have been a crime.
Heat madness. Mm. People go weird in heat.
They do go a bit weird in heat, particularly in London when there's not very much like space to blow it off.
Black
Yolks
episode.
Says the four boys literally pretending to be wizards topless in a room inside with all the windows closed.
I didn't say
people go weird when it's hot.
I didn't say that we were exempt from that.
Well, like I said, the first thing you saw in this workshop were these huge slabs of stone. Some of them, most of them kind of half-hewn. You can see they've been cut out in enormous chunks. And there's one big station where they're being cut down in smaller pieces, you know, made very nice edges. And you can tell that these are the building blocks for most of the buildings here. Seems to be locally cut stone. Don't give me sass. I've built a house, okay?
You were going to say, you built a whole world. I've got no reason to laugh.
Do you want me to go through the mortar that's there as well?
I'm struggling to form full sentences at the moment. So.
There are several kind of stacked up in piles. There are two very kind of precariously perched on a very long, large workbench. One's kind of half hanging out of a harness, almost swinging in the wind, but it's mostly still.
We just give Laurie a bit of props there for the three different types of alliteration painting that picture.
Oh, yeah,
that was very accidental.
Very, very nice, though. I liked that a lot.
Thanks, babe. Hey, yeah. Anything for you. There is also from another
rhyme
sling.
Rhyme for me.
From another sling right in the middle of the room, you can see a slightly finer piece, what looks to be another statue, very much roughly started. You can just see a kind of shoulder and an arm started from this big block. There are a couple of big kind of two-handed, what would be tools around you. Like there's an enormous maul, looks in pretty poor condition. There's several chips and picks. And then on a smaller table by this statue, there are lots of very fine, you know, files and
chisels
yeah. and rasps. Screwdrivers. What's a rasp?
What are you looking at Paddy for that kind of reassurance about fine metal working tools?
I used to go out with a sculptor. I know a bit about it.
Yeah, she's a stonemason.
Yeah, absolutely. She's really good at stone.
Yeah, weirdly, Paddy's the authority in this room.
Yeah, exactly.
Any of that particularly takes your eye? You want to... you said you're looking for the tools particularly. Is there anything... Any of that you're particularly interested in, or
yeah, I think I want to take a closer gander at the, like the fine,
okay,
like the fine the detail work tools, and also like what that statue. I'm assuming it's a statue that's being made.
Yeah, Yeah, you can. I mean, you run your hands over it, and it's definitely, it's the very early form. You can just see quite a muscular arm and neck, the first things. They've obviously, and they've hewn out a shape for their head. Seems to be, you know, kind of close fitting clothes at the moment, so we can tell, not much else to say. Wow. Could be a nude, could be anything.
Super weird that like a tiny little town would have like basically a statue maker. Like, it doesn't really feel like it necessarily supports it. What about the rock? What's
this,
it?
This town's got two dead people just kind of.
What's the, yeah? Yeah. What's the material it's made out of?
Yeah, well, in fact, the statue and the slabs and all the buildings in this town are built from granite, do you imagine? Or some kind of igneous rock, some kind of fire-formed rock.
Okay.
Comes from quite deep underground, usually from, you know, volcanic action, maybe even draconic action.
Yeah.
But it's a very hard, durable rock, which is notoriously hard to work into fine shapes. So this statue, you can tell, is a beautiful work. And yeah, and tools-wise, are you looking for, sorry, help me out here, are you looking for something in particular or just seeing if there's what's useful? What's the use you'd like to gain out of them?
I think actually what I'm trying to work out is like what this, I think I'm trying to work out if, because like Vatix probably will be able to pick up on this, like is this like a commercial thing? Is this like serving the town or is this B2B?
Oh, I see.
What are we talking about? Like,
is this just for personal fun?
Yeah, yeah. Like, is this someone's like hobby?
No. This is it's quite a large building. There are several stations in here, and like I say, the entire town, all the buildings in this town are made of the stone. So you get the impression this is of central importance. Probably industry. Probably a lot to do with what the town is. But like I said, there's that other larger building which may illuminate further. As you're pouring over and like I said, these tools in front of you are very fine. They're lots of, you know, little varying degrees of what could be sandpaper, you know, rough blocks.
Yeah.
And you can see they've been smoothing down these kind of beautiful lithe arms on the, I'm touching my own arms, listeners, which are not lithe, but I'm imagining I'm a statuesque for the minute.
Well, nice little bruise there, though.
And drills and little chisels. If there's any of that that jumps out to you,
I'll grab a chisel. I love a chisel.
You love a chisel? All right.
I think actually, I think Vatic's probably got like, I think he's got a deep love and affection for tools of any sort.
Yeah.
So I think he might be just, because I've got my
little holster.
Yeah, well, I've got my like work apron,
that heavy apron, isn't it? Yeah.
I'm imagining one of those ones with all the little tool slots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I reckon he's just kind of like, you know, go like, oh, that's a lovely file that is. I'll half inch that one. So I think I'm just like looking for, you know, I'm kind of just like upcycling the tools that are in my tool belt. I'm just looking for like nice looking files or wrenches,
because
you know, I'm always on the lookout for some. I think I've got a deep passionate love,
bit of horse glue,
find tools. A bit of glue,
no horse glue yet, Paddy. Oh, okay. We'll do the boil check later.
I think I'm one of those persons who like, I think Vatic's one of those people who like sees like an adjustable wrench and he's like, oh yeah, that's a bit of a raid. I like that.
I'd fuck that, yeah.
His sex apron.
Great, you do that. I mean, I'd make a note, say you've got some kind of stone cutters tools, some stone workers tools, maybe
they'll come
in handy later. But please give me a perception check while you're rooting around here.
I'm just gonna
ominous.
What's got a big fucking basilisk bites his arse or something?
Yeah, Laurie's got that look in his eye.
Maybe the stone worker is a basilisk. Maybe it's not stone, maybe it was a hill, and he's just turning it.
What do you think hills are made of?
I don't know, I just think that looked like, maybe it was flesh. Basilisk looks at the people, turns them into stones,
the big flesh hill.
So glad we gave the story writing to Laurie.
Yeah.
Okay, perception check.
She probably written a story about a basilisk in a hill. It's going to bite Liam on the butthole.
Turn my butthole to stone. I mean, already got a stony butthole.
Yeah.
That's what I am.
Yeah,
you're made of stone. Oh, that's maybe what I'm doing, is it's to give myself a haircut.
Oh,
I just file down my head.
Oh, that's actually quite a good idea.
Exactly, you chisel off your toenails.
Yeah. Like. Okay, perception check. Oh, that's not bad. That's a 15.
15, okay, so you're not too engrossed in your potential beauty makeover. You have time to react to a sudden movement in the corner of this, the dark corner of this room. You see there's a, not quite a separate room, but like a little, there's a cot and some boxes. And you thought there was no sign of life, no movement. And you just see two dark shapes kind of rear up over there, moving quite slowly. One is big and hulking. The other is smaller and wirier. And they're moving very kind of oddly in the gloom. And you can see this now. You've got time to react in some way.
Fuck, well, I'm gonna bolt out the door if I can. I'm gonna try and escape. I'm not gonna
strong. Yeah. Don't fight.
I'm not gonna engage this on my own.
It's wonderful. I would be getting back to the town right about now, I think. So
I'd be coming out of the door to say someone help me.
So I think the two of you, Zraka and Teddy and Glitch, come outside just to see Vatic tearing round the corner from where he was, you meeting at the, presumably right in the middle by the fountain again. And just
screaming, I wasn't nicking anything.
Yeah, and I run in, I'm like, ghosts! And Zach's like, found a bridge.
And and from over your shoulder,
Liam, you just touch anything.
From over your shoulder, you hear the strange sound of human lungs making a woof, woof, woof sounds. And you see this huge man, muscly man, kind of galloping on all fours towards you, and a smaller, wirier boy also doing the same. And I need you guys to roll some initiative.
Oh, nice.